Thank you all for making it to this nice and bright and early session. I'm going to be talking about an initiative called the Chicago Plays Initiative. It is run by the Chicago Park District and Friends of the Park, which is a nonprofit organization in the city of Chicago. And this is actually an evaluation of a natural experiment to increase park use. This is just my standard presenter disclosure that I have no relationships to disclose. And I just want to acknowledge my research team. We have a number of people at UIC that have been working on this. Anita Bantu is our project manager, and this project would not run without her. Oksana Pugach is our biostatistician. Shannon Zank and Angela Odoms-Young have been really instrumental in just helping out with the research design. Juan Ting is our research assistant. And then, again, our local partners, the Chicago Park District and Friends of the Park. So I can run through some of the first couple of slides. I really didn't put in much on background on the benefits of physical activity because I figured if you came to the session, you probably already know this, right? but obviously, physical activity benefits both our physical health through fitness, quality of life, prevention of chronic disease, mental health. It reduces anxiety, stress, depression, the psychosocial health. It really helps with social behaviors and self-efficacy, and brain health. It helps us stay on task. It helps with our executive function and our memory. So it really helps in a number of ways in keeping us our overall in good health. Parks and physical activity. We wanted to look at parks for a number of reasons, and especially in the city of Chicago, we have a very diverse socioeconomic and racial population here. And neighborhood parks are normally most of the, at least in terms of the sports fields and a lot of the facilities that they have and features that they have, they're freely accessible to all community members. So it's a great resource to have. Also, in many places, a lot of the low-income urban neighborhoods in particular also have access to a greater number of parks than some other areas, like rural areas across the country. So again, it's a great local resource to capitalize on. But what we wanted to specifically look at in this study is whether or not, is it enough to just improve the park in the hopes that you'll see increase in both use of the park and in physical activity levels in the park, or do you need something else? And right now, the literature really shows that those results are mixed, and that you might need to introduce some other type of intervention to really make the most of those renovations in terms of increasing park use and physical activity levels. If you are not familiar with the Center for Disease Control and Prevention's Community Guide, it is a great resource, and it consists of a number of literature reviews and other scans of research and what's been done, and they've come up with a great list of suggested policy and other types of interventions that can be implemented to specifically increase physical activity. And so we're really specifically looking at their creation of enhanced access to places for physical activity. But there were some evidence gaps when they looked at that, and one of them is what I've already talked about. Like, is it just enough to change the environment, or do you need to supplement it with other types of intervention designs? So for this, what we're really looking at is involving communities in community groups in these park renovations. There's been really only one other study that kind of fed into this that made us think about doing this, where they were looking at the additive, like the level of social capital in the neighborhood, and what kind of effect did it actually have on park renovations. So they were looking that parks that had higher levels of social capital also had higher daily visitation rates, and they also had, it was also associated with greater levels of physical activity by park users. But the study only focused on adult use and activity, and it also really didn't look at specific changes in the park environment itself. So these are some of the, so we wanted to look at also how this might impact youth, and also how involving community groups in the renovation process to try and increase local social capital might have an impact on physical activity levels and park use. So what we specifically looked at, in 2009 through 2011, there was a needs assessment done of all Chicago parks, and they identified 300 playgrounds that were in disrepair and needed to be upgraded. So the Chicago Park District and the City of Chicago and Friends of the Park, they created the Chicago Plays Initiative. This whole initiative, the goal of it is to renovate these 300 playgrounds over a five-year period to really enhance the safety and accessibility of parks for all Chicago residents. And they're using Chicago Park District's existing capital improvement funds for this. So there's no added money. They're pulling it from their existing budget. And the Park District and Friends of the Park, we're really trying to think about, well, how do we select this first round of parks? So they developed the Chicago Plays Initiative, and it's a competitive application process where community groups, and they were very broad in what they defined as a community group. It could be a formal park advisory council, block groups, church groups. It could have been a Boy Scout or Girl Scout group, whatever the neighborhood wanted to define as their community group. And they asked for applications to be submitted where they would nominate those local playgrounds, those 300 playgrounds, to be renovated in the first year of the program. And then they also had asked them to propose different plans for maintaining these playgrounds going forward. And again, like this whole process was meant to empower those residents that are living there, and they wanted to really have them try and capitalize on these renovations and kind of create this neighborhood hub out of this renovated park. So our study purpose, what we wanted to do is examine the impact of community engagement, which we defined as involving these community groups in selecting the playground design itself, helping with the installation, and then also putting together some ongoing maintenance of the playgrounds. So looking at that, plus the actual playground renovation, and we compared it to a matched control group of unrenovated playgrounds that had not yet been exposed to these community engagement activities. I'm just going to give you a little bit of background here on who submitted applications. So in this first round, out of the potential 300 playgrounds to be renovated, the Park District and Friends of the Park received about 100 applications. So only about a third of the potential playgrounds to be renovated had an application that was submitted. And in general, you had it split up where you have about a little less than a third came from park advisory councils. A number of them, a little less than half, came from the neighborhood and different nonprofit groups. And then there were these other groups, which were the things I mentioned, like the church groups or scout groups or just a group of citizens that came together just to really submit this application. So it was very, very diverse, the groups that submitted. It wasn't really all the formal park advisory councils. And then we looked kind of, they had to obtain a number of signatures of different community members or business members in the area that were showing support for the renovation themselves. And again, it's pretty close in terms of the different groups that submitted it. They still all kind of obtained pretty close to the same number of signatures from community members. They also had to submit statements of impact on why it was important to them and why they needed the renovations, and I mean, a lot of these you would expect to see: creating safe playground space for kids, improving neighborhood safety, having cleaner parks. You know, they have problems with graffiti or dilapidated equipment. They were hoping that they'd see a decrease in violence or crime and gang presence in the area. Specifically, you'll like this, Melody. They also wanted to minimize crossing unsafe intersections. And you'll know why that's important to Melody when she gets up and speaks. Again, they also they thought that the playground renovations would help to unify community members, attract new families to the neighborhood. You know, they were interested in community engagement, community revitalization. They thought it would benefit local businesses as you're bringing in more people, increase neighborhood pride, cultural diversity, increase healthy social interactions with neighbors, and improve quality of life of families. In the first round, there were a total of 50 parks that were selected for playground renovation. For us, we were able to obtain baseline information on a total of 39 parks that were slated for renovation, and then we selected an additional 39 control parks. We matched our control parks based on park size, the features that were located within the parks, the neighborhood predominant race ethnicity, median household neighborhood income, and also proximity to the renovation park, because we wanted our control parks to basically have the same underlying neighborhood characteristics and level of social capital going into the project, so that we could really really see the additive effect of the renovation. And we have a nice distribution where we have parks that go from the north, the west, and the south side of the city. And we're in 31 of the Chicago 77 community areas. We systematically assessed park use both before and after the playground renovations using SOPARC, which is the System for Observing Play and Recreation in Communities. And we observed park use both on weekdays and weekends, and in morning, afternoon, and evening hours. And we counted the park users by gender, age, and activity level. So we captured whether they were just in sedentary, moderate, and vigorous physical activity. We also conducted park audits, so we captured information on the number and condition of playground features and other park features. Our observations were conducted in July through September, and we matched them to the same time points across time. And then we also got Park District programming data and Chicago Police Department crime data, so we could look at some contextual factors in the neighborhoods as well. And then I just wanted to show you a couple of pictures of the renovations. So these are what some of the parks looked like beforehand. And you can see there's a big crack in the sidewalk in the slides. And then this is how they look after. That's more some before and after just next to each other. So on average, this is for the total sample, on average, as we observed the parks by day and by time, we observed just under 32 people in the parks. We observed about 15 people that would be engaged in moderate to vigorous physical activity, and about 18 people observed in sedentary activity. Now you'll see that the ranges are very large, but that's the average. And you can also look down, if you go down to our park size, in general, the parks on average were 3.86 acres. And again, we had some much smaller parks, and then the largest park we observed was a little over 40 acres. In general, looking at our park maintenance scale that we constructed, which includes graffiti and garbage and other types of things on the ground, most parks are relatively clean. The scale goes up to 9 different measures of basically physical disorder, and in general, most parks had less than 2 that we observed. neighborhood. We constructed a quarter mile buffer around the parks to look at neighborhood crime count. And these are aggregated across a 12-month period. So this is not for 1 month, but on average, the city wrote citations for just under 700 different various crimes. We looked really at street crimes, so anything that might happen on the street, muggings, it could be drug-related, car break-ins, things like that. We left out anything that occurred in a building. And again, you can see that the crime rates vary quite a bit by our neighborhoods. We had some with very high crime and some with very low crime. And on average, 46% of our parks had some type of park programming offered. Okay, I'm going to go. I knew I was going to run long, so I have 1 minute left. So we're going to go to the results. We ran two models, one where we only controlled for things like weather and park acres and also some of our neighborhood demographic, socio-demographic information. And then in our second model, we wanted to control for some of those contextual factors. So those include the park maintenance scale, our neighborhood crime count, and whether or not the park had programs. And if you look just at model two, what we found is in our intervention sites, those parks that had the community groups involved in the renovation process, we did see an increase in park utilization between baseline and 12-month follow-up in our intervention parks. And so that's great. So we did see an increase in the number of people visiting the parks after the renovation. And then looking at our physical activity measures, again, we also saw positive effects in moderate to vigorous physical activity in our intervention sites. We saw an increase in use between baseline and 12-month follow-up. We had a trend for sedentary behavior where we also were kind of seeing increased sedentary behavior over time. It's significant at the 10% level. So that, there could be a couple of different explanations for that. One, because we're really specifically looking at playground renovations, you might have more parents that are standing around and not engaging, so that could be one explanation. But we're just completing right now a 24-month follow-up, so we will see how these changes have been sustained over a two-year period as well. So our study has a number of strengths. It's a prospective longitudinal study design. It included baseline data. We have a large matched sample of intervention and control parks. We also looked at, very diverse racial and ethnic and socioeconomic neighborhoods. And then we also had objective measures of some contextual effects that we added to our models. It does also have some limitations where we did not follow individuals over time. Our parks are what we followed over time. We have fewer numbers of park observations. We really looked at 3 days, and a lot of other studies have looked at a week. And then finally, we really can't fully disentangle the effects of the community engagement. So that is something that we really want to look at going forward, to really try and develop better measures of community engagement so we can try and tease out some of that effect. But in general, involving community members in the playground renovations looks like it really does have a positive effect on park utilization and moderate to vigorous physical activity, even if you're just looking at one feature being renovated in the park, which is something else we were very interested in looking at. And then again, future research is needed that includes more of a systematic method for measuring the community engagement. And then I just want to acknowledge our funder, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. This is part of our Illinois Prevention Research Center. And there's some contact information for me. And I will turn it over now to our next presenter.